Welcome to the first ever Patches and Stitches Simpson podcast extravaganza, where me and my brother each week watch a Simpson episode and then separately, and then get together and discuss it and see what we think. We decided for our first ever episode that we would start with the Simpsons first ever episode, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire.
Yeah, that was a pretty first intro, I think. We thought, as far as a format for the show, that we would do a overview or review of the show, and then the other person who doesn't do the review will critique the review, and then we'll just get into discussing that specific Simpsons episode, which will probably lead us to talking about The Simpsons overall and how great the show is, and then probably also lead us to having conversations about our childhood, our children, our lives, and anything else, because this is what Stitches and I do on a weekly basis. Anyway, we just thought about recording it and letting other people listen.
I'm bored already.
Yeah. So I have been assigned to do the review of the first show. And as Stitches said, the first show was titled Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire, even though if you watch the show, it's actually called the Simpsons Christmas Special. It starts off with the Simpsons family going to their Christmas concert. And I believe Lisa starts off the show with some kind of, like, Christmas is around the world, and she's doing some kind of tropical dance. Fire. And then Bart's class is up next, and Bart gets to sing, I think it's Jingle Bells, and he sings the Batman Smells version, and he gets yanked off the stage. And the whole time, Homer is complaining about having to be there, and it's taking too long, and pretty much it shows the parents all thinking that the children's concert is way too long. When they get home, I believe they go over what they want for Christmas, and Marge, in a foreshadowing moment, talks about the money that they have saved up and telling the children to be realistic about what they're going to ask for. The next day, Homer goes to work, and we can see his power plant. And Mr. Burns comes on the loudspeaker telling everyone that they're not going to get their Christmas bonuses, which was definitely part of the plans of the Christmas shopping. While at the same time, Marge takes the kids to the local mall, the Springfield Mall, and Bart wants a tattoo, and I think he had asked Homer the night before if he could get one, and Homer just said something like, well, if you can pay for it or something like that, and Marge definitely did not want Bart to get the tattoo. Well, Bart gets the tattoo while they're at the mall, and so Marge has to use their family savings for tattoo removal, and she tells Homer that she had to do that when they get home. Or when he gets home that day from work, and Homer does not have the courage to tell her that he is not going to get the Christmas bonus, which then sets up the premise for the show that Homer now has to figure out a way to save Christmas. And I believe the only idea he comes up with is that Barney tells him about being a Santa at the local mall and making extra money, so Homer goes to classes to learn how to be a Santa at the mall, which is quite humorous, the classes that he has to sit through. What else? And then I think they kind of go to Christmas Eve, I believe it is, and Patty and Selma come over, and Grandpa comes over, and the whole family's waiting for Homer to come home, but he's still working his Santa gig at the mall, and Bart and his buddies are there at the mall, and his buddies prank or dare Bart to pull prank on Santa by pulling down the beard. So Bart goes down to Homer, pulls down a beard, finds out that it's really Homer, and then Homer gets mad at him, but confesses to Bart that they don't have money for Christmas. He doesn't know what to do. And he finally gets paid for his Santa job that he's been working all month, you know, to save up the money, and it's $12 or something like that, so it's not going to be enough to save Christmas. But then Barney tells Homer that he's got a hot tip at the dog track, and Homer is like, oh, should I take my kid to the dog track on Christmas Eve? But he decides this is his only chance to save Christmas. And when he goes to the dog track, and Barney tells him the dog to pick, it's pretty good odds that if they win that much money, then Homer can buy presents for the kids. But instead of betting on that hot tip, Homer picks a dog who's, I think, chances are either 100 to 1 or 1,000 to 1. And he picks a dog because the dog's name is Santa's Little Helper. So he thinks it's a miracle or a sign that a miracle's going to happen. And he picks the dog with the long odds. And, of course, Santa's Little Helper does not win. And I remember one of the funny lines was, well, let's at least stay till the dog finishes. And Homer says, no, we can't wait that long. So while they're at the dog track, the family's at home, and Patty and Selma are bad-mouthing Homer, and Grandpa's falling asleep, and the family's kind of wondering what's going on with Bart and Homer. Where are they? Because it's Christmas Eve, and they're supposed to be home. Well, as Homer and Bart are leaving, they're checking the parking lot for any tickets that might be winners, just out of desperation. Any gambler knows that feeling of complete desperation. Santa's Little Helper's owner kicks the dog out and says, I never want to see you again. And the dog runs. Santa's Little Helper runs right into, I don't know if it was Bart or Homer. I think it was Bart. And Bart wants to keep him, and Homer says, okay, why not? They go home, and Homer walks into the house, and he's really sad and dejected, and he's going to tell Marge that, you know, what happened and couldn't save Christmas. And then Bart walks in with Santa's Little Helper and says, look, everyone, we got a new dog. And the whole family is super happy, and it is a Christmas miracle. And I think they end the episode with them singing around on the piano some kind of Christmas carol that Homer doesn't remember. Is that pretty good?
You know that this overview is supposed to be a summary, not a shot-by-shot retelling of the story, right?
Okay, let me try again. The Simpsons had a Christmas special, and Homer screwed up, and Bart made fun jokes, and everything worked out at the end.
Yeah, there were so many mistakes. Because Santa's Little Helper jumps into Homer's lap at the end. And he's...
I said I didn't remember if it was Homer or Bart.
But then you went with Bart, so... And because Homer has that great line of, oh, he's a loser. Or, you know, like, he's listing off all... Like, he's slow and ugly, and he's a loser. He's a Simpson.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember the joke that's something about, well, at least we can be able to catch him if he ever runs away.
Yeah, I do like that one. Do you know that... What was Barney coming into the bar saying that he could buy everyone drinks? Because obviously he didn't get paid until the end, and he knew that he was only going to make $13.
Oh my god, you're pointing out a plot hole in the first Simpsons episode.
Yes. Get it together.
Yes, now see, if he made enough money to buy drinks, it's probably more than $12 that Homer got paid for the whole month of working.
Say that again?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a plow, definitely.
You know, so something that dawned on me a couple days ago after watching this episode was that Marge is doing she's writing a Christmas letter, and it was you know, we forget that we've, you know, now have seen so many Simpson episodes that at this point nobody knew, you know, besides the Tracy Ullman show, nobody really knew the Simpsons. And so doing that was a perfect way to give little tidbits of character information shortly and in a format that, you know, when you get Christmas letters, it's usually from people you don't know very well. And it might just give you a little insight into what's going on in their life. So I was like, ah.
I thought so, and some of the notes I took on the show was definitely that they did really good character development in really quick ways. I thought like Grandpa, Patty and Selma, and like even Mr. Burns, when he tells everyone that they're not going to get their Christmas bonus, he does it in a way that it's like it sets his character is almost the same as that first episode. So they did a couple different characters like that, and they used different ways of setting their characters, which was something I thought about. I'm like, do you think the writers and the producers at all just thought of like making just a Christmas? I mean, I know they probably knew that they're going to have a series, but like, do you think that they had this hope or dream of just making an awesome Christmas show that could maybe be compared to Charlie Brown or something? Or do you think that they just were like, all right, we need, like you were saying, like we need to set up first season and hopefully a successful series?
I think it was both. I think that they took time to develop the characters a little bit, but I think they thought this would be a good way to, you know, people might come back every year to watch it specifically because it's a holiday episode.
But you never see this playing as a Christmas episode ever.
No, I mean, I think they found that Halloween specials were where they want to put their money.
Yeah. Even though, like, watching this episode again, it is actually a very good Christmas story.
Yeah, it really reminded me of The Gift of the Magi. I know it's a completely different story, but the whole idea of, you know, it's kind of like Marge thinking Homer has it covered, Homer thinking that Marge has it covered, and that becoming a problem, you know?
So tell me more about The Gift of Magi.
If I recall correctly, it's
never mind. It's never mind.
It's told different ways, I think, but the whole buying gifts for other people, and the dude sold his watch to buy a present for her, and she sold that part of it too.
So, I've seen a Mickey Mouse special that does that. Yes. See? Okay, no.
It was probably a Christmas episode. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
You know who really bothered me in this episode? Ned.
Well, and I had put him as a character development, but his character has definitely changed.
Yeah.
They had set him up as the neighbor who was better and had more. And he's just gotten so much deeper and so much better.
Yeah, I agree. You know, why do you think that Homer didn't just tell Marge, like, hey, I lost my Christmas bonus?
Because they needed a whole episode. I mean, that wouldn't have done anything for the plot. I mean, everything in the plot was set up with him having to do these crazy stunts.
Right.
Yeah. But like, if you're trying to get into like their relationship, they're trying to, like you were saying, they're trying to set up as Homer being this guy who wants to take care of his family.
Yeah.
And Marge is just kind of being the good wife who just chugs along.
So it was very 1989.
Yeah, it was the 80s.
Should we talk about our sponsors right now? The Springfield shop. The Springfield Shopper gave us 4.5 stars.
Did you see that? And I got my little cheat book here, but the marquee went on the children's at the school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's funny too. That even in the first Simpsons episode, they still do the like you have to pay attention to stuff if you want to catch the jokes.
They knew what kind of show they were going to produce.
Yeah, and they've stuck with a lot of that.
Yeah, that's good. See, but I also looked at our Simpson books, and I think in the book it says 3.5 stars, but when I was watching the episode, I wrote down that it had 4.5 stars.
My money's on the book.
You would take the book over me, wouldn't you?
I always will. Did you notice that in that... I think it was maybe Lisa's class or Bart's class, but there was a little boy that looked like Ralph.
In the pageant, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Weird. I wrote down Weird Ralph.
Yeah. It's funny, right? Because the animators had to like just start drawing kids. They didn't want to just, you watch some of those Charlie Brown stuff, and they just put like little circles in the background or whatever, because they didn't want to have to, you know, do the background animation. And, well, who is the, like, I right away, you're like, there's Ralph. I
see. Right.
So that was cool. At least I don't think he talked, at least, right?
Yeah, he did. His voice.
Did he?
Yeah, that's always, his voice is completely different. But
yeah, it's always bad when they have to. And then they're like, well, that's a really good drawing, but we need to give him a different voice. Sometimes I think that happened with Elmo. When they first came up with Elmo, is that they did not know what kind of voice, but they just knew that the puppet looked really cute. And I think they gave it to Frank Oz and said, all right, you got to make this, you know, this puppet do it. And Frank Oz did all of his different voices for it. And no one liked any of the voices, so he threw it down. And that guy who turned out to be a horrible person grabbed Elmo and did the, you can do it. Do the Elmo voice.
Elmo loves you.
Yeah. And anyway, I did see like some Muppet movie where Elmo did not talk like that. And it's disturbing. It's just usually, you know, just imagine looking at Elmo and hearing, hi, boys and girls. You're like, no, that's
Elmo. Right. Elmo knows where you live.
Yeah. The other one was Mr. Burns' voice. I tried to, you know, because I was expecting that there'd be some disappointment. And overall, I was really like, I thought the voices and everything was pretty good, but Mr. Burns' voice was one that I kind of like, oh, that's not right. And then the animation, I noticed that when they spoke, their mouths did this weird turning thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything about the animation that you kind of notice, like, that's not pleasant to look at, or that's not The Simpsons I know?
You know, I'm so used to seeing the old and the new that I guess I didn't really focus too much on it. I thought for the first episode, this looked a lot better than what I remember it. In the next couple episodes, I think, you know, when they bring in, was Smithers in this episode? Yeah, he was.
Was he?
Yeah. But I think Smithers is like black for the first season.
Oh, yes. I think I do remember that. Then they turn gay.
I thought it was pretty funny that the tattoo guy and the tattoo removal guy were two doors away from each other in the mall.
I didn't notice that, but that's funny. I like the Santa coach spoke in German. And the whole Santa thing, when him and Santa class, there were some good jokes in there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who is Donna Dixon?
I don't know.
Come on. You're more of an 80s kid than I am. I was really hoping.
I think Donna Dixon is much older than the 80s.
Donna Dixon.
That was a good one. Yeah, he really pronounced that clearly, so you know what he's. Here's the other one. Okay, so I've got my book. That doctor who took off his tattoo is Zitofsky.
Okay.
Zitofsky. I think that's pretty good. Dermatologist named Zitofsky.
That is good. See, that's what we're talking about. Simpsons working that.
Well, that's just stuff, right, where the writers are just like, no one's going to catch it. We don't care. That's just fun. We're just going to have a little fun.
Right.
For when I watched this show, one of the fun things was I got to watch, I had my two little boys watch it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to do it on purpose just to see if they would laugh at it or see. And they did. They thought there were some funny things. The one just started laughing out loud when Bart pulled down Homer's beard. He just thought that was the funniest thing, that his friends would dare him to do that. And then that he did it. And I remember that about The Simpsons when I first started watching, that some of the jokes, you did have to be very quick to catch them, and they definitely still work on that level. But other jokes are just so simple, and it's slapstick, and it's fun.
Right. Yeah, because I watched it with my son and daughter also, nice. Story Topper. And there was, I can't remember, but there was...
I think he just broke even. I don't think he topped it.
Yeah, that's true. There was a joke that they really liked. They really love Bart Simpson though. Kids really relate to him.
I think that's partially part because of the animation though too. I think we watched something about The Simpsons, like when they were on Tracy Ullman, there was something about how they drew Bart that was not appealing. I think his hair was a little too long on top or something like that, so I think part of his big eyes, all the, you know, Simpson characters who have the big eyes and and just a little bit more soft edges appeals to kids. I wrote down a couple first because I was as we're going to review these episodes, I wanted to see like when the first this, the first that. And in this first episode, they did the first dream sequence when Bart had to do the math problem.
Okay.
And, oh no, that was, it's not this episode. Never mind. There is a first dream. There's a first dream sequence, though, in this episode. And then there's the first dough.
Really? Where's the first dough happen?
I don't know. I just wrote it down. Hey, he said dough. I was waiting for the first choke. I thought he would choke him during this episode.
No, that doesn't come until a couple seasons. Like, that's like 8 seasons in, I think.
Wrong-o. I read the book. It actually happened in the Tracy Ullman show.
Dang it.
Yeah, you gotta read the books before we do these things, otherwise I'm just gonna...
You know, the funny thing about this episode, one of the funny things that I found, is that the kids end up getting exactly what they wanted on the list. I mean, okay, Lisa doesn't get a pony yet, but she gets a, you know, a big animal in the house, and okay. Bart asked for a tattoo, and then he went and just bought his own tattoo.
And you know what his first tattoo was going to be?
Yeah. I heart mom.
And just a mother with heart, yeah. Which I thought was also kind of clever. It's like the one person who doesn't want to get that tattoo.
See, but you were right. It did have the dream sequence of Bart showing Marge the tattoo and her being so impressed with it.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
I got to take better notes from now.
It's our first
when
episode.
You're scoring on my notes. When you're scoring on my notes. I also did like I remember the first couple seasons Lisa really annoyed me, but when she defended Homer to Patty and Selma,
yes,
she's talking about how like she really looks up to him, and I thought he did that really nice too. I mean, like when I listened to the words she said, I'm like, someone intelligent wrote these words and took some time to do it. So at a point in the episode where I thought it could just be a throwaway line or two, I thought it was actually...
Yeah, that might have been my favorite part, because then Patty goes, go back to watching your show, dear. Like, just totally yes. blows her off, which is, pointed in itself.
Yep. Yeah, it kind of... That's the tone.
So, did a little calculation. If Homer's dog would have won... He would have won $12,957.
What were the odds?
99-1.
Okay.
And then Barney won $130.
And $130 back in the '80s would have bought him a good Christmas.
Well, it was just Barney and that lady that were leaving the track, so he just totally ditched Barton. He won a little money and just ditched Barton Homer because they all went together.
Did they drive together?
They didn't drive. Well, they just show that they show Barney walking up with. Remember, Barney's walking up with Bart on his shoulders, and he's singing. What are they singing? It's a great song.
Oh,
we're in
that
the
is
money.
Funny.
No. Wow, I just watched this episode and now I can't recall anything about it.
You gotta take better notes. But I do remember them singing something. And it was funny. But I mean, he won. Homer and Bart lost, so yes. Even behind.
You know, as parents, another thing I thought about is how do you top next year's Christmas for The Simpsons?
You buy them gifts that they actually want.
You buy them. So... Do you think Lisa's asking for a pony again next year?
Oh yeah, she always wants a pony. Yeah, and then exactly. So are you a newbie parent? I mean, like, this couldn't have worked out better. Is next year when she asks for a pony? Like, sorry, babe. You know, last year we got the dog.
We got the dog. We can't add another animal. Like,
yeah,
come on.
You settled for it. That was your choice. You did this. You always try to top your last Christmas. You can't do that. No. You sometimes have down years, and sometimes you do it intentionally.
You have down years for Christmas? That's sad.
You lower the expectations, man.
Oh.
Kids, this year we're going singing a lot more and caroling, and we're going to go ice skating, and that's going to be our Christmas. Boo. You're lowering expectations, aren't you? Yeah. What up? Do you listen to the podcast? Don't listen to the podcast.
What was I going to tell you? I was going to tell you that... Oh, my favorite joke, or my favorite line of the whole thing is when Bart... And I should have brought this up late before when you mentioned it. When Bart... Right before Bart pulls his beard down, when he gets on his lap, he's like, "Hey there, Bart partner." And for some reason, that made me laugh this time. And I was like, I don't know why, but that was the only time watching this episode that I actually laughed out loud.
Really?
Yeah.
I set my expectations so low for this episode, I laughed a couple times. I really thought it was a good episode. I would suggest watching it again if you have not watched it in a while. I do think it could be a Christmas special, but if you don't want it to be, they went with Halloween.
Bart does call his tattoo boss, which I love when we throw nice. When we get old throwback
lines.
Cool phrases.
I like one cool thing about the episode is that Santa's helper is still part of the family. And so, like, the origin story of one of the characters was the first episode.
Yeah.
And I know Santa's Helper is not, like, the biggest character of The Simpsons, but he has played a role throughout the years, and he's still on. That'd be kind of sad if they killed that dog off, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's how they should end the series, is kill the dog off.
Oh, that would be a perfect way to end the series. You come in with Santa's Little Helper, you leave with Santa's Little Helper dying. Wow, that's morbid, but yeah. Marge tells the story about Snowball 2 in this episode, too.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
A lot of things happening. This is the first time we see Principal Skinner. I think...
Yeah. He wasn't... His character gets so much better. Not just from this episode. I just remember the first couple of years, he was just like the... mean principal, and then he turns into the pathetic principal with a military background. It's like,
right,
who's got mother issues. Yeah, but I was looking to see how many characters they'd introduce. They didn't, they kind of stuck to the, you know what else I think I saw? Hank Azaria was just like a guest voice or something like that,
so he wasn't signed on right away.
I remember that, noting that too, so we're like, oh, he was not. He didn't get top billing with everyone else.
Well, who would he have done? He did Mo, and that's it for this episode.
Yeah, Mo was in it. Yep. I think, and I did listen. So probably he had to do a few other voices before they gave him.
Did you notice the show that Maggie and or the family's watching? The Christmas episode that they're watching?
The Little Elves?
The Little Elves. And one of them is named Moldy. Moldy the Elf. The Happy Little Elves. That's kind of a kick on Smurfs, right?
Yeah, I think so. I always thought the elves were. But they always try to make it like it was a little kid show. So I didn't know what else they were, kind of. I think they just... Sometimes they mix... references, and I think it was a Smurfs thing, but it also just how like children's shows are annoying to watch.
Right. We know that.
Is there anything else you got to say?
Oh, I have a lot more to say, but I'll hold it on to the next episode.
We can have more podcasts.
If you want to follow along with us next week, we are going to watch episode 2 of season 1. And if you have a message for us, feel free to leave a voicemail on our Anchor app if you're listening on Anchor. if you are a Simpson writer or you created the Simpsons in any way and would like to have Patches and Stitches on as guest Simpson characters, we would love to do that also.
It's kind of the goal of the whole podcast. We're not going to go through all of season one. We just thought starting with the first couple episodes would be a good start, and then we'll probably jump to some favorite episodes, and I wouldn't mind jumping to this year's episode, so we're not going to go in chronological order.
Give them the real story is you got ambitious, got carried away with The Simpsons, and you just jumped into
episode one
to the second episode, and I was like, oh, I thought we were going to jump around, and you said, oh, I rewatched it, so I guess we're doing that.
And I got banger notes for next week. And they're only 2 weeks old. My cheat book did not help.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And if you like the podcast, please share it where you can share things.
Thanks, everyone.
The Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast Extravaganza is brought to you by the Patches and Stitches Family Foundation, a noble spirit, and Biggins, the smallest man.
Smell you later.